Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from one of our ministry partners, Brandon and Rachel Powell, who serve as missionaries in Bangkok, Thailand.
As we are serving in Thailand, in Bangkok, Thailand, and we are really just beginning this journey, and we are just so excited. It is just a beautiful place, a beautiful country, a beautiful place that needs Jesus. And one of the things that just amazes us about this region of the world is it is what we call unreached. And all that word means is that they have limited to no access to the gospel. There's no churches sometimes in hundreds of miles. If they want to know about Jesus, they really have nowhere to turn. But sometimes the internet, and we know the internet's not always accurate. And so a lot of times they want to know Jesus, but they have no one to ask, no Christians. They don't know anybody. We've actually met people that have never heard of Jesus. Never, not once. They've never met a Christian. They've never heard the name of Jesus. And to our family, that's something that burdens us, that burdens our heart. And we believe that we can see Thailand be a nation that is reached, and a nation that has access to Jesus. And beyond that, a nation that can send missionaries. Thailand just got its first missionaries from Latin America, which is just so cool. In many of your lifetimes, Latin America was unreached. They had no access to the gospel. And now they do have access, and they're sending missionaries. So that's our heart for Thailand. And one of the places that we have just fallen in love with as we've been praying and preparing is Rongkamhaeng University. And this university has 525,000 on-campus students. That wasn't a mistake. 525,000 students on campus. It's basically a city within the city. And Bangkok is a very large metro area, very big city. And so this university has no known gospel presence on it. Your pastor used to do Chi Alpha. There's no Chi Alpha ministry, no gospel ministry happening. And to us, this is just such a wide open door. And we love students. We love high school students and college students. It's a time in their life where they ask difficult questions. You know, do I believe what I was brought up to believe? And so we have such a heart for this area of Bangkok. It'll be basically in our backyard. And so we're really excited about the opportunities there. We've been praying a lot about possibly starting a coffee shop on campus. Great opportunity to start having conversations. And who doesn't love a good cup of coffee, right? And so this is our goal, is to be launched to Thailand by January of next year. And so we've been working towards this and praying about it. And so we would love for you to just stay connected with us, to be praying for us. We need your prayer support. So our website is gopowellgo.org, like go pack go. Go, Powell, go. Hopefully you can remember that. Yes, your sound guy likes that. He's like, yes. you know, we're from Green Bay. We couldn't escape it, right? And go, Powell, go. Go, Powell. That's a great way to stay up there. You can find all of our links to Facebook if you're on Facebook. That's a great way to stay up to date. You could see cute little pictures of our girls, you know, traveling, different hotels, wherever we're at. And so please like our Facebook page, The Powell Family Serving in Thailand. We also have some other social media links there. But please pick up one of our prayer cards out at our table. Like I said, we need your prayers. We need your support in this and making a big change. But we do have a video of our family, and you get to see a little bit of the city that we love so much. So if we have that ready, go ahead and check out the video.
Here in Thailand, and one of the amazing things about Thailand to us is the amount of opportunity to share the gospel with the Thai people.
Your way.
you so much for partnering with us on this journey as we invest our lives in sharing the message and the life-giving power of Jesus with the Thai people. Thank you.
I'm Brandon, and we're just so honored to be sharing with you guys today, a week before the big day. If we have some slides, I don't know if we're going to be getting some slides up. If you do get the slideshow up, it might be a few slides down the road that we start there, just to give you a heads up. Well, Pastor Eric, he connected with us when we first got approved. He's one of the very first churches to actually schedule some time with us. And so he laid on his heart the vision that God has laid on his heart for this community. And we've been just so looking forward to this Sunday in particular for several months now, actually. But we want to thank you so much for opening up this platform for us to share what the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts for your team this morning here. Will you all dive in this message, just join me in praying with your people started here. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for this opportunity to meet with your people. Thank you for the message that you have given us to build some momentum and get excited, not only for this coming week, but for the months and the years to come. Let spiritual eyes and ears be open in Jesus' name this morning to receive from you today. I pray a prayer, a blessing over this church. Bless Pastor Eric and Pam and their team as they continue to bring heaven to earth here in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. We'll be picking up there in just a few moments. We are so excited for your event this coming weekend. We cannot wait to hear how everything goes. We'll be looking online and giving Pastor Eric a call afterwards just to see how the excitement went. I love hearing a lead pastor who is excited about outreach and ministering to people outside of the church. Why? Because it's a sign of life, right? It's a sign of life. Not only are there signs of life here, but life is unavoidable. That's what we've seen. It's what we've heard. And it's so encouraging. Keep growing, church. Keep growing. You are a powerful, anointed, mission-sending church. It's in your, you know, the life-changing blood. People around the world and in your community are coming to know the life-changing power of Jesus because of your sacrifice. And I believe the Holy Spirit has sent us here with a message to simply recharge your mission's batteries. No matter the season of life you're in, we're all going to be challenged this morning to go deeper into God's presence and remind ourselves of why we are here. Really, we should be reminding ourselves of this daily, right? Because the results of spreading the gospel and the love of Jesus will produce fruit. If you believe that with me this morning, say amen. Amen. Well, I am so, so passionate about foreign missions. Obviously, right? Look at our picture up there. That's why we're kind of over here, right? But, you know, to be passionate about Thailand, I have to have a heart for local missions as well. And as we begin this year sharing about our hearts for Thailand, we would be amiss if we didn't cultivate an atmosphere where you can get excited and passionate about doing missions right here in your city. Amen? I'm so excited to share this message with you in the next few moments that the Holy Spirit laid on our hearts for you this morning, because missions, it enables us not to only see people how God sees people, but it also gives us the opportunity to remove obstacles for people to understand the heart and privilege of something that we as followers of Christ have the wonderful honor and privilege of doing. It amazes and saddens me of the amount of people around the world who have no access to the gospel. There are 16,510 people groups that categorize the almost 7.5 billion people on the earth. 42% of these people, 3.1 billion people, are completely unreached, meaning that they have limited or no access to the gospel of Jesus. There might be a graphic on the screen here in a minute just to give you kind of some examples of just the breakdown. That's a lot of numbers I'm throwing at you there. So my goal is for you to get the big picture of, wow, there's so much happening around this world. It's just, it's more than just our city, more than just our home. I mean, can you imagine being one of the only followers of Christ within your community of several thousand? Can you imagine not having a church that you could physically attend, or not have a community of believers within several hundreds of miles, where one person and 100,000 people know Jesus? That's not okay with my family. And God has given us the passion and the means to do what we can to reach some of these people. As foreign missionaries, we have the honor of sinking deep into the culture and the language of the people with whom we're ministers in the culture. It's not going to get very far if we didn't learn the religion and the language and the culture. Thai language is very, very hard language for us English speakers. It's tonal, meaning that there are five tones for the same word, five meanings for the same word. For example, if I were to say to my beautiful wife, "Khun soi mak lai kap," it means, "You're very beautiful." Aw, that's nice, right? But be careful if you say, "Khun soi mak lai kap," it means, "You're very bad luck." Oh, suai, beautiful, and suai, bad luck. Be careful, because there are actually way more worse things that you can say with the wrong tone. So praise God that we will be in language school for the first 3 years, amen? We need to be able to communicate the gospel to people in their own language. If you want to stop out at our table after church too, we have a Thai Bible. It's a Thai fire Bible. It's huge. It has like concordance and everything in there. It is awesome. So if you want to take a look at it in Thai script, it's really, really cool to look at. One day I'll be able to preach from it too. We also need to be able to spend time learning the culture and the Buddhist religion to effectively communicate the gospel to Thai Buddhists. 85% of the country is Buddhist, as Rachel mentioned a few moments ago. Every part of Buddhism is interwoven into their daily lives. In fact, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. There's no distinction there at all. And it makes presenting the gospel very different, and that suffering equals understanding of their worldview. Buddhism teaches that all of life is suffering, and that suffering equals attachment. And so if you're attached to the things of this world, that's really the opposite of what their goal is. And so, for example, John 3:16, do you guys know the verse, John 3:16? If you know a verse in the Bible by heart, it's probably that one, right? That's one of the first ones that we kind of learned as a kid. "For God so loved the world." Oh, wait, hold up. As a Thai Buddhist, God loved. No, oh, see, my whole goal here as a Buddhist is to detach from the world, and loving someone is attachment. So right there, I want nothing to do with your God. That he gave his only son. Oh, son. Interesting. He must have loved in order to have a son. And also, this son died a horrible, painful death on the cross. What did he do in this life or a previous life to deserve that kind of pain and suffering? Please keep me away from that name of Jesus. I want nothing to do with it. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. No, 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 no. I'm trying to get away from eternal life. I'm already living eternal life. I don't know how many lives have been reincarnated previously. I don't know how many more lives will remain. All I know is that I'm stuck in this endless state of reincarnation, and my good deeds have to outweigh my bad deeds, and eventually, hopefully, one day I'll escape to nirvana. Complete opposite, complete non-existence. Wow, that is the complete opposite of what we're striving for, right? In fact, we don't even need to strive. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, so there's no striving. Because for us, we believe in a life full of hope and joy. We can be confident in this blessed hope for a wonderful, perfect life with no sickness, no death, no shame, no depression or division. Amen? But it's a process. It takes time. And you know what? Our God is the God of process. There's a new song that just came out recently. Maybe you've heard it. And there's a verse in there that says, "He could have saved us in a second, but instead he sent a child." God could save Thailand in a second, but instead he is using people like our family to go. He could save Ripon and all the surrounding area in a moment, but he chooses to use you. You're not perfect. You don't have all the answers. Your life doesn't always go the way you planned for it, and you don't always see immediate answers to your prayers, but you have a blessed hope. Your eternity is secure. You have peace and a joy that cannot be taken away. God chooses to use you so that all can hear and have the opportunity to respond to this grace in Thailand before Rachel, freely given to all of us. I had the honor of spending several months in Thailand before Rachel and I got married, and I had the opportunity to see how God was so actively moving in people's lives. There is a picture in there on the slide deck of me with some Thai students. If we're able to show that, it's way down the road. So if you find that, we can pull it up. But if not, that's okay. I'm a pretty good storyteller. So I was up in the north with a bunch of different Thai students, and we had the opportunity to teach them English, and many of them had never ever heard of Jesus before. And oh, that's the one. Perfect. So for example, one of my favorite stories is Songkran. All the way on the left side of the screen, you're going to see a girl in the purple shirt next to me, the tallest one there. And Songkran in the purple shirt, she came from a very Buddhist family, never ever heard of Jesus. Her family never had access to the gospel. And she came to one of our English speaking clubs there. We helped start a church there as well. Well, she got connected to that church. And actually, right after we left, I found out that she got connected with that church. And she made a decision to follow Christ almost a year later. How awesome is that? That's so cool. But my favorite part is on the next slide. I found out just recently, this past year, that she just got back from a year-long missions trip to Africa. How awesome is that? Isn't that amazing? In our hearts, right here is exactly what we feel like God has laid on our hearts, to reach the youth and the young adults, to be able to equip them to reach their nation, and ultimately to be launched from Thailand to go to places where my eye color blue and my skin color and my nationality would never be accepted in certain places where the gospel is not yet taken. But these Thai people have a perfect inroad, and they're already there in different places where they have the opportunity to go. So who wants to go with us? Yeah, come join us. But in all seriousness, 525,000 students, you heard my wife correctly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe God is calling you to join our team, or maybe he's calling you to some other part of the world or the city or a nation. Now listen, not everyone is called to physically take the gospel around the world as a career. It is the heart of God that we would all have a passion for people who do not know Jesus, to have the opportunity to learn how to call on him, the only one who can save us. I mean, how can we not have a passion for the thousands of people who are dying all across the world daily and going to hell for all of an eternity? This isn't something that we like to talk about. It's not a comfortable conversation. The stakes are plan for college or retirement, except when we're dealing with eternity, the stakes are much higher. If I were following Jesus as a Christian with the intention of living a comfortable lifestyle, I think I'd be safe to say I'm following the wrong God, right? One of the things that have really kept me up at night, really something that I spend so much of my time thinking about, is do people who never hear the gospel and never know Jesus truly go to hell for all of an eternity? And I'm not talking purgatory for a short while so they can pay off their sins and then have eternal life in heaven. No, eternity in hell. If they won't spend eternity in hell away from God, then why are we sending missionaries? Why are we still sending missionaries? Why should we send missionaries to go and give those lost people a chance to hear the gospel if that means they might reject Christ and then go to hell? Well, that concept carries over to our context, too. Are people really going to hell? If they are, what can I do now to show them the way out? Is it my responsibility to do anything at all? Before we jump into the meat of this message, we need to define a phrase that I just threw out there, and that's the definition of a lost person. How many of you have heard people like myself throw out phrases like, you know, pray for my in darkness, he's lost. Or my heart breaks because my father, he's walking in darkness, he's lost. We hear this phrase a lot in the Christian community, and for people who are not yet Christians or who are new Christians, this term can be confusing. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines lost as not knowing where you are or how to get to where you want to go, unable to find your way. And as followers of Christ, this word has been used to describe people who have not made a decision to follow Christ. Jesus says in John 14, 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Hear me this morning. I believe that God wants to pour out his Spirit here on people at Hillside to make known the power and the glory of God. God gives us his Spirit, but we choose daily to be challenged and changed and to invite others to join us. This passion is something that we cultivate daily. How about you? Are you passionate about making disciples of all nations? When was the last time that you wept for a lost person that you know? When was the last time that you wept for a lost person that you don't know in another city or a country? And we're not talking figuratively weeping, like feeling bad. Tina cries. We're talking real tears. When my oldest daughter, Lena, cries, I think that you might be listening in the nursery, so she might hear her name. Hi, Lena. I love you, baby. I can tell when they are real tears or crocodile tears, right? And my response is different with the type of cry. There's a difference when she cries because she wants something and when she cries because she's physically or emotionally hurt, right? If she cries because she wants a cookie and she doesn't even have any real tears, I'm usually not very quick to move. But when she's hurt and the cry is different, I come running and I move quickly to make sure she has what she needs. I'll wrap her in my arms, I'll comfort her, and I'll make it right. And a parent's response to a child that has real tears is no different than the response of our Father God to our cry for lost people. He's a good father. He's a good father. Some of you need to hear that this morning. He's good, so good. And it's in his nature to come running. It's in his nature as God the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And it's in his nature as God the Son to save the lost. Yes, when we cry, it pulls an emotional response from us. But those are God-given emotions for a reason. In a perfect time that I was burdened. These are the hard questions that we must ask ourselves. When was the last time that I was burdened for people on the other side of the world who have never had the opportunity to hear Christ because there are no churches or Christians within hundreds of miles? The last time that I was burdened over people in my circle of influence who seemingly have it all together, but I know that they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for them and has the power to save them for eternity. When was the last time that I wept over my family members who were far from Christ? Take a moment and think about the people who are in your family or in your friends that are not living a relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and get their face in your head. Hear their voice. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? As a follower of Christ, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of people who are lost and are walking in hopelessness. Because we have a blessed hope. We have a blessed hope. Jesus has the power to save the lost, and we get to play an active role in the process. Our emotions for lost people don't have to end in despair. They don't have to end in despair. You can have victory and control over your emotions, and you can use them to impact the kingdom of God. Message. Let's get excited this morning. This is an encouraging, life-giving message. We can be challenged to go deeper. I just want to say, when I pulled in this morning, you guys have a beautiful sign out front. You guys have a beautiful facility that the sign brings them in. And you guys, we were just so impressed about how beautiful this facility is and how genuine the people are, how full of life this place is. I mean, you guys have really done a fantastic job. I mean, my wife, you might hear her play in just a few minutes. The piano back here, gorgeous, beautiful. You have a fantastic facility to bring people into. There are seats. Look around you. There are seats here. Every one of these seats can be someone to be filled with the power of Jesus. Oh, that's exciting. Amen? That's really exciting. We should be really excited about this. I know you're going to be excited next week when you come, though, right? Amen? Woo! Get excited. I wish I could be here. If you're already in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, I invite you to follow along as I read this. Verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people, no longer counting people's, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20, here's the part I want you to get. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for God, for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You know, all throughout the New Testament, we see and read about being ambassadors for Christ's kingdom. But what does that actually mean for us today? In his book, How to Worship a King, author Zach Neese teaches, like an ambassador visiting a foreign country, you can walk through this world confident that you carry on your shoulders the glory of God. Wherever you set your foot, that place becomes the kingdom of God. At home, in the office, a hospital, or a grocery store, on a platform, wherever. This concept still amazes me. I encourage you all this week, as you go about your day, think about this, that you are an ambassador. Say that. I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Christ. King. Wherever you set your foot, you bring the kingdom of God, where Jesus is king. Some of you might be in the room today and think, okay, I'm okay with being an ambassador. That actually sounds, kind of exciting. But that whole weeping for lost people, I'm just not an emotional person like that. I care for people, really, I do. And it breaks my heart and I feel bad, but cry, that's not really my thing. Well, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, we learn that weeping for lost people was and is Jesus' thing. Did you know that Jesus weeps for the lost, even right now? Jesus had just entered Jerusalem in this passage, and prior to this passage where he rode in on a donkey and people joyously welcomed him saying, Hosanna, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. But knowing soon that they would later be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And knowing the condition of their heart and their lostness, it says that in verse 41, as he came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Luke says that Jesus wept for a city that would be destroyed because they did not recognize when God visited them because of their lack of belief. Author Alicia Cole shares, Luke captures the heart of Jesus as he's weeping over Jerusalem by using the screen as used the Greek word kleio to describe the way in which Jesus wept. That word on your screen is used to express grief at parting, remorse, and sorrow for the dead. It's a mourning cry. In fact, we can think of it as an ugly cry. How many of you remember the last time that you had an ugly cry? All the parents can say amen. Oh, man, parents with young children, I tell you what. Alicia encourages her readers to ask God where he is weeping in your life and in the world and join him there. It's never weakness to grieve where God is grieving. It's never weakness to grieve where God is grieving. Jesus' point was that devotion is all about being close to the Father's heart, having the same heart as the Father has for lost people, and sacrificing comfort and resources to search for them and to bring them back home into the family of God. Man, this is an encouraging place to be. This is an encouraging, life-giving place to be. Who's missing out on this? There's capacity here for more people. There's more capacity for love for our community. Amen? There's more capacity. We have it. And God will make a way for more and more. His love is endless. It doesn't stop. There's no cap on his love for lost people. You understand this first love in our hearts as well. So we come back to Jesus' word. How you understand this first determines how you live your life. I am the way, Jesus says. No one can come to the Father except through me. Note, He doesn't say, well, there is another way. If your good deeds outweigh the bad, and if you give money to the poor and volunteer at church, and you tell people at work that you're a Christian, no. No, this isn't Buddhism. This is the way of Christ. This is the way of hope and peace and joy. There's an order, there's a structure for it that's been given to us by God. Jesus says that he is the only way to the Father, period. Period. And if that is the case, where does that leave you this morning? Where does it leave you? Where does that leave your family members, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors? Where does that leave people on the other side of the world who don't have any church within thousands of miles, where there's no one to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, hear me today. Perhaps you won't be sobbing uncontrollably for lost people. That's okay. We all express emotions in different ways. But my hope is that you will all of us will allow lives, weeping or mourning for the lost, to develop more in our lives. And the result, it will produce fruit, that I promise you. How you understand this verse that Jesus is the only way to heaven will cause you to understand the true state of the lostness of your family members who, although they are religious, have no relationship with Jesus. Pastor Scott Wilson from the Oaks Church in Texas so accurately speaks of the current state of our modern-day missions movement right here in the United States when he states, "The most dangerous place for some of us to live and verbalize the gospel isn't on the other side of the globe. It's in our own homes, our schools, and our workplaces. If a student walks with spiritual zeal and boldness at school, she may be ostracized by some of her friends. If the fire of God prompts a man to live lovingly, wisely, and boldly for Christ at work, he may lose his job or at least be skipped over for a promotion. There's always a cost for a life of fire-driven faith." Go ahead and close your eyes all across the room this morning. Picture yourself standing before Jesus at the end of your life on earth. Maybe generously you spent 100 years on earth. The memories flood back, all the high points and the low points, God's faithfulness. A common theme that I think will be in each of our thoughts at that time is God's faithfulness. Perhaps we'll see our memories from God's perspective, and we'll fall in love with him all over again when we realize all the ways that he's blessed us and protected us. And suddenly, we are entering eternity, whether it is with God by the grace of Jesus or apart from God by our own choosing. And all this life will be history. It will all happen so quickly. Our days on earth are so few in comparison to eternity. Are you doing everything you can to provide an opportunity for others to stand before God in right relationship one day? You can open up your eyes now. Friends, I encourage you to regularly think of yourself in that position, standing before Jesus. It's so encouraging. It should be encouraging, and it keeps us the perspective on our situation right now. I encourage you, if you find yourselves in difficult moments, just think of that, being right in front of Jesus. It puts everything in the perspective. You might say, well, I'm not a pastor. I work a 9-to-5, and that's my career. I need to focus on my job, and when I get home, I have my family to take care of. I have myself to take care of. Weekends are my only time off, and it's spent running errands or taking kids to games. I already come to outreach next week. I even times a month. I give to missions. I plan to attend the outreach next week. I even went on a missions trip. To those people, I say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you because you work so hard. And it doesn't go unnoticed by God. Thank you for having a heart for the house of God. Thank you for putting God first in your life before your friends and your family. Thank you for loving people through missions. Thank you for the sacrifice that you're going to make next week. It is, however, still possible to do all of these things and more, and yet still not be moved by the fact that there are lost people around us. to have fake tears, as my daughter might tell you or show you. If you lack the heart for lost people, your motivations will lack authenticity, and your strategies to win souls will lack passion. You might need to write that down. If you lack the heart for lost people, your motivations will lack authenticity, and your strategies to win souls will lack passion. What's your motivation for coming to this outreach next week? Last century, or maybe this year, whether you made a decision to follow Christ last week or last year or last century or maybe this morning, I hope that you're here. But when you show up, please don't lack passion. Don't lack passion. Don't lack a heart for lost people, because people can see right through someone who's not genuine. Jesus himself ate not with the high priests and the people of notoriety, but with the outcasts. Don't gravitate towards people that you're comfortable talking to, but towards people whom the Holy Spirit is leading you to talk to. Don't miss that opportunity to be Jesus to someone. Don't miss it. Write this down. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to intentional discipleship. No follower of Christ is the exception. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to intentional discipleship. No follower of Christ is the exception. Say, I'm not the exception. No, you're not. Neither am I. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is the Great Commission, where Jesus told his disciples to what? Go, right? That's one of our core values here, to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Are not reserved. Scott Wilson has said, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission are not reserved for pastors or missionaries. Right, Pastor Eric? It's true. Oh, amen. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission are not reserved for pastors and missionaries. Say amen. 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 Whether people are nurses or masons or stay-at-home parents, attorneys, or in any other career, they have been given the high calling of representing the King of Kings in their circle of influence, starting first with their family and their friends and then their communities and on to the furthest reaches of the earth. But they don't have to try to make disciples alone. They have God's magnificent assurance of his presence, authority, and his power. This morning, the Holy Spirit is calling us out of apathy or passionless existence for lost people. Hear this. It is not our job to save people. Wow. If anything gives you a relief this morning, that should. Say that. It's not my job to save people. Whose job is it? It's Jesus's and his alone. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, but he chooses to process. And why? That's Jesus's job alone, though. He just asked us to be a part of the process. And why wouldn't we? Why would we not want to be a part of the process? Let's decide today that we are not going to allow excuses to stop bringing us, to stop bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Don't allow those excuses. This is good. I really feel like this. There's actually going to be someone next week. Maybe you're already thinking about it. You're planning your escape route for next week. You know who you are. Maybe, oh man, next week is a really busy week. I have to make a huge lunch, or I have to, you know what? Let's just make a commitment now today. If you are already available, let's say, I'm going to be here. Can you say that? I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to get excited about this. I'm going to be passionate about people here. And no matter what my background is, no matter what my skill set is, I'm just going to trust God that he's going to use me to connect, to be a part of the bigger body reaching out, or to individually just be filled with the Spirit to do whatever God wants me to do that morning. Amen? Oh, that's going to be a good week. I'm excited for it. You were designed with a natural inclination to go and to take action. And when you're not flowing in the rhythm of the heartbeat of God, the condition of your heart begins to worsen. And the symptoms show over time. Feeling like you stuck in a spiritual rut, rarely being able to hear the voice of God, feeling like you rarely feel his presence or unable to experience the peace of God or the joy of God. That desire to show love to the world is running through your veins as a child of God. During this worship service, it is my hope that we all walk away encouraged and challenged to take the gospel where it's never been in people's lives. If you're familiar to listening to the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life, I encourage you in the next few moments as we prepare to go into a time of worship to really ask God, God, what is it that you're speaking to me? What is it that you're speaking to me? Maybe you're not familiar listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. If you begin to think bad thoughts about yourself or you feel guilt or shame or condemnation, that is not the Holy Spirit's voice, okay? That is not the Holy Spirit's voice. But the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And I believe that many of us are experiencing that right now, that calling to greater things, for a renewed passion. Before you leave today, or at least before you go to sleep tonight, I challenge you to spend a few moments to yourself in a quiet place away from all distractions and simply ask the Holy Spirit in your own words a few things. First, ask the Holy Spirit, break my heart for what in a long time for break my heart for what breaks yours. Maybe you've never cried or haven't cried in a long time for a family member or a friend or a person in your circle of influence. Allow those emotions to come naturally right now, however they may. Holy Spirit, I ask for more boldness and more of you in my life. Pray that you'll see yourself as who you really are, an ambassador of Christ with full authority to bring heaven to earth. Go ahead and use this time to pray in the Spirit and allow the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life to lead you into a greater level of intimacy with God, a new level of passion to reach lost people. And lastly, you can pray, Holy Spirit, I ask for strategic ways to reach lost people around me. Give me ways, give me things that I'm good at that I can use to speak to people around me. Pray that you would strategically have things prepared and ready to say, and that you would position yourself to hear from the Holy Spirit what he's leading you to do. Hillside, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the kingdom work that you're a part of. Lives and destinies are forever impacted because of the sacrifices that you are making and you continue to make. Each of you together as a church has the opportunity to influence an entire culture around you. Friends, don't miss what brings you temporary opportunity to impact eternities by instead focusing on what brings you temporary comfort. Don't avoid those uncomfortable conversations that will last for just a few seconds that may turn into a wonderful God encounter for you and for the person. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, and I'll close with this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Let God be the source of all of your comfort as you make known the love and the power of God. Before I transition into this time where Rachel's going to lead us into some worship, just to really reflect, maybe you haven't heard this song before, just look at the words and let the Holy Spirit fill you with compassion and passion for people. Before we do that, can you all raise your hands as a symbol of receiving from God in this moment? Holy Spirit, I release great faith in this room in Jesus' name for people to be moved from apathy to compassion, for authentic love to be shown through each and every person here. Okay, go ahead and say this. Repeat after me. With great faith, declare this over yourself, okay? Go ahead and say this. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for the influence that you've given me. Holy Spirit, use me to show the love of God to people that you've placed in my heart. Let me show them kindness and compassion in creative ways. Give me eyes to see answered prayers. And let me be obedient to what you're calling me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's spend some time reflecting and weeping for the lost.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. The one whom you love and gave your son for humanity. Increase my love and help me to love with open arms. 'Tis all the love I do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Know that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. And even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, how you love us. From the homeless to the famous and in between. 'Cause you formed us and you made us carefully. 'Cause in the end, we're all your children. And help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. And know that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. And even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. So let all my life tell of who you are, ending love, and the wonder of your never ending love. So let all my life tell of who you are, that you're wonderful and such a good Father. And so let all my life tell of who you are, and the wonder of your never-ending love. And oh, let all my life tell of who you are, that you're wonderful and such a good Father. That you're wonderful and such a good Father. And help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines, sees the truth. And know that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. And even in just a smile, they would feel the, they would feel. And even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. They would feel the Father's love.